Crab Feast. You know what it's all about.
This is the Crab Feast. I'm yelling, fuck that. You ain't gotta ask me, cause you could trust that. Every Tuesday, you already knew though. Ryan Sickler, soccer star, JUCO. Above ground, cool goes, better than most. Jay Larson, self-diagnosed. Go down low this week, last week. Here we go again, fuck the Crab Feast.
It's the joint.
Crab Feast for that ass. Almost passed.
Double
out.
Touch pitch.
I never let go the whole time. God, I knew it would make me feel
You got
bad.
Them lungs, kid. What's your swimming like?
I can go down and back and down with one breath.
Down, back, and down?
That's it.
Get the fuck out of here. Long wise?
No. Short way across the pool. Yeah.
Hey, man, you never know.
I go that. Not Olympic pool. Standard backyard in-grounder. Not a fucking
You
Olympic.
Go boom, boom. Are we talking a kidney pool or like a rectangle?
Rectangle, man.
Three laps.
I'll go down, back, down. Standard. Not
when was
Olympic
the last time you did
pool.
That?
Probably 2 years ago.
I bet you could do it with those
I
lungs.
Still feel it.
Woo.
We could have a challenge on it. We could have a swim challenge, like a home run challenge.
I ain't going to mess with that swim challenge, that's for sure.
Thank you.
Feast Nation, what is up? Jay Larson here, jlarsoncomedy.com, Jay Larson Comedy on all social media. If you follow me on Instagram, I'm doing a bunch of shows in town. So if you're in town, I'll post it every week where I'm going to be. Other than that, October 20th, I'm releasing my hour special through my website, Jay Larson Comedy. It'll be on other platforms as well if you like using Amazon or whatever, but just get it over at my website. And then I'll be in La Jolla the 6th and 7th of October at the Comedy Store, which I can't wait for. And that's it for now. Sickle Cell.
Ryan Sickler on all social media, RyanSickler.com. If you're looking for local shows in L.A., just check my website. I will be doing Flappers on 927. I'm going to be doing an hour there to run the hour that I'll be doing September 29th and 30th. Four shows at the La Jolla Comedy Store. Come on out. If you haven't got your tickets yet, you can use code CRAB and get them 2 for 1. On any and all Crab Feast related info, go to thecrabfeast.com. Support the podcast. There's many ways you can do it when you go to our website. Just check out the homepage. There's merch, premium apps, and make sure you follow the Crab Feast on Facebook and Twitter.
Football season's here. Week one, my Pats. Woo!
I was surprised.
Man, they took one on the chin.
You were winning, weren't you, in the start the fourth? Weren't you up by like 3 or 4?
I don't think to start. I think in the third, we were up like 27. I can't remember because I didn't get to watch the whole game. The only good thing was I had Kareem Hunt on my fantasy
team. You did?
Got him fourth round players.
Did you put him in, though?
Of course.
Oh, you did?
I drafted him to start because we had an early draft. If anyone ever had an early draft, and homeboy, their number one guy, had just got hurt, and they were right. Like, who knows what's going to happen? And I'd like...
then he fumbles on his first carry ever, apparently.
Yeah. College, he never fumbled in college. Yeah. But my whole fantasy this year was... I'm going to draft my guys, and then I'm going for whoever got drafted in the first round. I'm going to just pluck all the studs because they're going to have a chance. And Hunt, I just started reading on him, and I took him in the fourth, and everyone's like, what are you taking Hunt for? And now he went in like second rounds for everybody else because he's now become the starter. You know what I mean? Anyway.
I took the same gamble on that rookie running back for the Vikings.
Yeah, that
we'll
kid.
See what he does.
Mixon?
I can't remember his name.
The guy that went to Alabama that had all those problems?
I don't know if that's him or not, to be honest with you.
Interesting. Either way, if you're into football, there's no better thing than going to DraftKings.com and check out their $100,000 pick'em. Week one is done, so if you're still in all your pools, the great thing about DraftKings is you can do these weekly fantasy leagues. So if you're in a fantasy league or survivor pools, it doesn't matter. You still have this no matter how you're doing in those. Pick'em is the newest way to play one-week fantasy football. Drafting your team is faster than ever. DraftKings has organized players into 8 tiers, All you have to do is select one player from each tier. Choose between public contests with big cash prizes or private contests where you can compete against a group of your friends. DraftKings also has beginner and casual contests where you play against people of similar skill level. Best part is you get to draft a new team each week without any commitment. That's the best thing, is you could tank one week and it's not affecting your overall, because next week it's a brand new thing.
Or an injured player doesn't get stuck on your roster.
It's perfect. Go to DraftKings.com now and use promo code CRAB, C-R-A-B, to play DraftKings free contest with $100,000 in total prizes this Sunday. That's promo code CRAB to compete for your share of $100,000 in total prizes. Contest is totally free to enter. I mean, why would you not do that?
It's not even a dollar. A lottery ticket's a dollar.
I mean, come on. DraftKings, the game inside the game. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Well, let me give you the details for this week's episode. We are excited to have this guy on. We've both known him for a really long time. I'm surprised we never had him on sooner. And excited to have him on this week. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mr. Chris Porter. Welcome to the Crab Feast.
What up? Thank you. Oh, I'm full on crab.
You're also coming in with energy. That's much appreciated, coming in with energy.
Well, I mean, look at the energy Rye's bringing, man.
You feel it?
Rye's got a bad contact. Look at that eye, man.
I do. My eye's messed up.
What happened?
Is it torn or something?
Nah, it's just scratching me up right now.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes they just suction cup to your eyeball.
Got those exfoliating contacts.
I'm not a fan. I wear them, and I'm not a fan of them.
But
you know who I'm a fan of?
Chris Porter?
Chris Porter, y'all.
You know it.
I do wear contacts, but only like for sports stuff.
Oh, really?
Like, these sunglasses are prescription.
Yeah.
The contacts, especially for a guy that smokes as much weed as I do, like, they become super annoying.
Yeah.
Once your eyes start drying
out, all that shit.
Yeah. Or just they dry out when you get stoned.
And they do.
I don't like that. And so I just went to glasses. And then if I'm playing softball or golf or anything where I'm moving a lot.
Any sport, man.
List sport
here. Softball, yeah. And, you know.
Yeah. Anything where I'm moving around a lot. I don't need glasses.
When you're dancing.
Jiggling, yeah. Jangling. Oh, yeah, when I'm dancing, no, I just throw the glasses off. I don't need to see anything. I just close my eyes. Rhythm is a dancer, you know.
You know it is, son.
Well, before we get into this, why don't you plug your social media, your dates, anything you'd like.
All right. I'm at I Am Chris Porter on almost all the things. My website is pointless because it's down. And I'll be in Albany, New York, the 14th through the whatever mm-hmm. that Sunday is mm-hmm. in Albany at the Funny Bone. And then I'll be at Hyenas in Fort Worth the weekend after.
Right on. Great. You've been out there to Hyenas before?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
It's comedy boxing, basically. Because the Hyenas, they don't charge a lot to get in, if anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of their business model. Is like, just come in and drink. So
you left? Come on in.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck.
I don't. And they come in, they all pile in, but they could get, especially the later shows, they could give two shits about the comedy. So it's just a lot of, I just let a lot, have you ever done the Dirty at 12:30 in Vegas?
No.
It's a show where the headliner goes on at like 1:15 in the morning. Basically every show is like that, where you're just like, I wouldn't let half this shit go in a normal show.
Right, yeah.
But I know I'm so outnumbered right now that I'm just going to fucking let it slide.
It's a pack of hyenas, man.
That's exactly what it is.
Wait a minute. That Dirty at 12:30, you ever done... The only one I've ever done that late on the road, well, before when they used to have the three shows on Saturdays.
Oh, yeah.
But the St. Louis Funny Bone, they do that smoking show where you can smoke the late show Saturday.
They do still do that?
Third show where you can smoke.
That's still happening?
Oh, yeah. And it's just like, you get up there, and like the manager would be like, hey, maybe you just want to do a half hour. That's fine.
Yeah,
and you're like, oh, all right.
Die of cancer, man.
And then you just start like getting into people.
It's
like crowd work. Crazy.
Fuck yeah.
And then the thing is, they just went to one show because that club used to be all shows but one were smoking.
Oh, really?
Yeah, man. Opposite? They were one of the last clubs.
Hyenas, man.
No, he's talking about the St. Louis Funny Moment.
Oh, yeah, man. And they would just. They act like you're on TV. They just smoke and blow it right at your face because they're staring at you and they don't know and they're dumb. They're just right at you. You're like, hey, man, I'm not Cher. I don't need a smoke show, man. Just blow it the other way.
Yeah, they don't give a fuck.
But you're from Kansas City, right?
Yeah.
So you started comedy in Kansas City, or did you start when you got out here?
No, I started. I was no.
Wait,
I
which
was,
which side of the river are you on?
I was Kansas.
Kansas.
Kansas. We didn't own people, and
they own people on the other side.
In Missouri, yeah, that's why it has a boot hill. You know that little boot at the bottom of the state. Well, during slavery times, they had passed a law that below the third, you know, whatever parallel that is, you couldn't have slavery. And Missouri's like, well, we want to own people. And they're like, okay, well, then dip your toe
in here
into slavery.
Oh.
And that's why that boot hill's there.
Oh, look at that little history on the ground.
Yeah, yeah. I got that on How the States Got Their Shapes.
That's .com?
No, it's a show.
It's a show.
It's a show on history.
Yeah. I've seen that before.
It's pretty great.
It is, actually.
Pretty great. Yeah. So yeah, I started, the club was on the Missouri side, but yeah, I grew up in Kansas, and then, yeah, I grew up at I came up at Stanford and Sons, you know, with Tim Gaither, Justin Leon, James Johann, a lot of those cats were in my class. Well, James was before me, and, you know, it was weird coming up in a club that was run by drug addicts and womanizing weirdos, and it was great. Like, you could walk into the comedy club and buy any drug you needed. And,
really?
And do, yeah. And then there was a dance club downstairs. So you could go upstairs, do a show, buy some weed and some Xanax, go downstairs, get yourself a beer, and maybe get laid. It was debauchery.
Is that club still there?
No. No. It was cool. It was like in the middle of Westport, which was like the
Stanford and Sons is gone?
No, that particular location is gone. Gotcha. Yeah. And that location was the best. Ever since then, it's been a complete shit show.
Yeah.
Even more than it was. But at least then it was fun.
Yeah.
Those were those kind of club owners that they'd book you, and then the day before, they'd be like, something happened. You're not in. And you're like, well, I kind of passed on a lot of shit
this. Right, yeah.
And they're like, So, yeah, it was, and they're also notorious for
taking up with Stanford, one of us.
Yeah, yeah. They're notorious for, like, you'd get your check and it would be like $300 short, and you'd be like, hey, that's not right. And it would be some waitress like, they left.
Oh, right. They're gone.
Honey, they're gone.
They're gone.
Yeah. But they said, take this little bag.
Yeah.
So, how many brothers and sisters do you have?
I got one. I got a little sister. She's 7.5 years younger than me.
Oh, all right.
She lives out here. She's in TV and stuff. And yeah, she's rad. She's one of my, you know, that's what's cool about having a sibling that's that younger than me. There was no competition or sibling rivalry. Like, by the time I left the house, she wasn't even really a person yet.
Right.
So, like, we've become friends later.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
7.5 years, your parents were like, what the hell was that?
They, you know, there were a few attempts that didn't work out. And then also, when you hit perfection the first time.
You know what I mean?
You know
why
what I'm
you
saying?
Want to follow that?
Well, you're like, are we going to do this again? Yeah, this kid's amazing. You know, you don't.
Six.
You got like, the Arnold Schwarzenegger.
It's either that, you know, or with the Danny DeVito. Like, man, I don't see this thing turning around. Let's go for another one here. Let's go. We still have time. I don't think this thing's going to turn around.
It's all, you know, it's all perspective, really.
Well, you said I wanted to know what it was like growing up for you, like what you guys did, and you know, what did you guys do to kill time in high school?
Okay, well,
is it super rural where you grew up?
Pretty.
Or, okay.
Like, we're the beginning of super rural. Like, I didn't have a farm, but a bunch of my friends did.
Yeah.
And like, I lived in a neighborhood, but then the next neighborhood away from me was 1.5 miles away, and there was nothing but cow fields.
Right.
And wheat fields in between us. But then you could drive 20 minutes, 25 minutes and be in Midtown Kansas City. So, and now if you go to where I grew up, it's all built up now and it's all residential and shit. But, you know, and also I grew up, I had to drive 14 miles to school. Or I guess it was 12
one
miles.
One
way to school every day. Maybe it was 8. It was a lot. It was a lot further than I should have.
Was it a charter school?
No, it was just like I was on the very outskirts of the district. I was actually closer to another high school, but because some map said so, I had to go to this rural one, which was fine.
Same map.
How
that said
school
he could
districts
own
got their shapes, man. That's how the school districts got their shapes.
And so, which was great for me. I wouldn't have been able to play sports at the bigger schools. So,
what'd you play?
Football.
Did you?
And then
were you wide receiver?
Yeah.
And then, I knew.
Were you an FFA member? I know you had FFA in your school.
Future Farmers? Yeah. No, I did. I didn't. I wasn't a 4-H guy.
Yeah.
I went.
Big 3M fan, though.
And then I went, you know, we'd just go to Scott Fields Staple, and drink. That's what we'd do.
That's what I wanted to ask you. Have field parties?
Yeah, just someone would have a field, or my buddy had a field behind him, and we'd just four-wheel down there and then just build a fire and drink and pass out on a lawn chair or in your truck or whatever.
Yeah, that's what it was like where we grew up. Same thing, like 25 minutes out of the city, but it was early on, it was cornfield. Like, I had never smelled manure before, like going by a fresh field, and you're like, Jesus.
What about manure? Christ. Had you smelled manure?
Same thing.
Yeah. But what fresh, I say? It's manure. Just so much manure. More pungent.
That's what I said. That's how you say it. And, you know, I had never seen, like, tractors ride on the – I'm talking about big-ass you know, huge tractors, combine shit riding Giant. On the road and stuff. John Deere's, man. It blew me away.
Yeah, man. We – there wasn't a lot of that where I was. I mean, people didn't have those big-ass farms, like right. those 300 acres, but, like, yeah, it was a lot of people that are like, yeah.
The way you said it just reminded me, like, Footloose or some shit. You're at, like, chicken races on tractors. Like, I'd never seen anything like this, man. I had my VW
chicken
bug.
Right there going at each other.
We weren't allowed to listen.
His brother was there.
His goddamn shoelace got stuck. He wasn't trying to be a hero.
I wish you were in the writer's room for that. They're like, how can we get him that he wants to get up, but he can't? Like, what if his shoelace is just, all right, yeah.
Shoelace! Tell Kevin his shoelace is up. Just do a couple close-ups for Uncle. That's all we need. Cut
That's it
in.
It, man.
That is hilarious. Yeah, he wasn't trying to be a hero. Well, you were telling us before that you had, what, at 17, I guess you had something pretty major happen to you.
Your elbow, right? You hurt your elbow?
I hurt my elbow. I was playing golf with my mom, and I was on the side of the fairway waiting for my mom to hit when a golf ball hit me just above the left temple.
Holy shit.
And a man had hit it off the tee, and it had not yet hit the ground. So it was
coming in hot.
It was coming in real hot, and then knocked me out for like a split second. Yeah.
Did your mom see that?
Mom didn't see it.
She played through, man. She was like 200 at the time. She's like, listen, I'd love to stay here, but.
I got up, and funny enough, I had just gotten contacts like that week, and so I'm holding my head. She thought like something was wrong with my contacts or something. Right. And she's like, what's up? And I was like, I got hit. And she's like, what?
So you were able to get up and talk? Mm-hmm. Are you bleeding?
No, I got a big bump. The old man comes around. My mom.
It's my new titles, man.
My mom went primitive gorilla. I've never seen my mom that angry before or since. Like, she went up to him like a fucking gorilla. What the fuck is wrong with you? What the fuck is blah, blah, blah. And I was 17. I got up. I was like, I'm fine. Let's just keep playing. And I played like five more holes, and then the headache got worse. What had happened was it had cracked my skull. The blood had gone back into the skull and started to clot between my brain and my skull.
Whoa.
And so about the seventh hole, like, the headache got real bad. And by that time, we'd let the old man play through because he was obviously in a hurry. And
I kill people out there.
I can't believe you kept playing.
I know.
I don't care
nuts.
If you felt all right. I mean, I've seen people at golf courses before get hit.
Yeah.
And they, I mean, not like didn't see the ball hit, but you see people go down and like ambulance comes out and they're like, you got to go somewhere. That's hardcore.
Yeah. I've always had a fairly, not like an insane pain threshold, but I've had a fairly decent pain threshold. But yeah, I was also 17 and an idiot. Like, yeah, if it happened to me today, I'd be like, we're going to the hospital right
don't
now.
Touch me.
Don't touch me. Just call the ambulance. We need life flight.
Damn right.
But I was 17 at the time. I'm like, I'm cool. I'm great. Plus, football started in 2 weeks. So, like, I was like, I'm not hurt. Everything's fine.
Yeah.
I'm playing football in two. It was my senior year.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way I'm not playing.
What was the record of the team junior year?
Oh, we were terrible.
Okay.
But still, I started.
Matter, but they needed
it. You got a pep rally on Friday.
I started varsity junior year, so I was guaranteed a spot. Like, I'm walking into this.
Right.
And that was, you know, in high school, that's life.
That's everything. Especially there, I'm sure.
So we leave. I go home. I decide to take a nap, which is never
not what you're supposed to do.
No.
So you stop playing after seven holes,
playing
but
after
you
seven
still
holes.
Don't go to the hospital? You
still
go home?
Still go to the hospital. I go home.
They're not bright out there.
And I'm like, yo.
Hey, listen, that hospital's 65 miles away. You better be sure you're fucked up.
So I tell my mom, I'm like, I can't see straight. Like, I literally cannot see straight. I should probably leave. And I called my friend to tell him what happened. And he's like, yo, bro, you don't sound right. And when a 17-year-old kid says that,
yeah,
I'm like, hey, mom, maybe I should go to the hospital. She's like, yeah, I can't get through to the doctor. Let's take you. And then when I got there, they were like, yeah, you have to have surgery right now. And I was like,
everyone's running. You're like, well, Jesus Christ.
Right. Well, they go, this is what's got to happen. And I go, okay. And they're like, is that cool with you? I go, well, can I play football? And they're like, because they didn't make it seem at the time like it was life-threatening. Mm-hmm. They're just like,
they're like, is he a prospect? Right. Where's he going to college? They're like, nah.
He D1? JUCO?
They were 2-8 last year.
You can miss JUCO, man.
They were like, blood clot. They're like, you have a blood clot. We need to remove it. I was like, well, can it wait till after? I go, we'll just wait till after the season.
Can it wait till October?
And they're like, no, you'll be dead tomorrow.
Whoa, it was filling, your blood's filling up that
They're
fast?
They're like, it's going to continue to bleed. It will continue to clot. It will suffocate your brain. It will be the most painful death that anyone's ever experienced in a long time. And I was like,
I think I'll be back by week 6.
And so I was like, well, why are you even giving me an option? Like, why right, yeah. why, is, I mean, why was there a question?
Right.
And so they took me in. And
we're trying to be dramatic.
You know, 2 days in intensive care later and 2 days in a regular hospital later, I came out.
So what did they have to do?
They took like a cylinder type drill bit and cut it out my skull, took the blood clot out, put the piece of skull back in, three wires.
Shit. Wire, that's how they put
the,
it.
Fused to the bone, and then the bone begins to fuse to itself. And so,
fuck.
The cool thing was one of the wires had a little slack in it, so it would click, and I didn't think anyone could hear it. And so like if I was like that year in high school, I would sit there and I'd click it, right? And like if I was just, it was just something.
It would be
to do.
Under the skin though.
It would be under, and I could hear it go. Click, click, click,
click, click. It's my slack, man.
We're taking a test. We're taking a test in poli sci or something, and I'm doing
quiet.
It.
You're clicking it.
And this chick goes, "What the fuck is that clicking?"
Oh my god!
And I was like, "Oh, not my head.
My brain wire.
I can't concentrate. He's clicking his fucking head, man."
So, yeah.
Wire slack all in there.
Wait, so how did you not play football that whole season?
I didn't play that football that whole season. I couldn't play any sports that whole season.
Was it how?
I mean, I wasn't
did you
going,
redshirt?
I wasn't going anywhere. You know.
Yeah.
I,
how
I did, had a 5.440, so I wasn't doing much.
How did this like affect you? Were you slow coming back? Like, what were you?
I went through a depression.
I mean, they fucked with your brain.
I went through a depression my first year of college, and I thought it was just my first year of college, you know, just being weird. And then like years later I was talking to like a neurosurgeon about it, and he was like, and I was telling him about it, and he goes, did you go through a depression after that? And I was like, yeah, kind of, but I didn't think it had anything to do with it. He was like, no, it absolutely did. And I was like, oh great, I just thought I was being Dawson's Creek emotional. Right. Yeah. Like, I gotta stare at a lake and so I can figure out my problems. And so but the funny thing is, I was supposed to go into the Navy. Like, I was on track to go into the Navy. I was going to do ROTC, and then I would have owed them 4 years. And I would have graduated 7 months after 9/11.
Man.
Oh, man.
So it basically saved me from going to war.
It did.
Yeah. I don't. It's one of the greatest blessings to have ever happened to me, because it started me on my path to comedy.
Did you ever see Jacob's Ladder?
No.
You would have been living that, man.
I don't remember. I've seen
that,
it, but
you
I haven't
did
seen it.
Jacob's Ladder is basically this guy's like, can touch people and see the future. And it's like, should you, you know, that old man, you don't know, but you may have been paying in the clubhouse, and he might have like just touched your back and like, oh shit, this guy's going to die in Afghanistan.
Tomorrow. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So he's like, I'm going to hit this kid with a golf. I'm just saying.
Well, thanks, old man. You got me on TV, and I got to fuck a bunch of girls I shouldn't have. So thank you.
Exactly. That's crazy. Wait, so then did you play any other sports? That was it for you pretty much at that point, right?
That was it. I mean, because then I went to college, and then went to college and was like, fuck this, man.
Where'd you go?
I went to KU for a year, and I shouldn't have.
We got like, a Jayhawk in here?
Yeah, buddy.
Well, 1 year in.
Yeah.
1 year in.
Well, we got a freshman Jayhawk.
We got a Jayhawk. Wait, so then after a year, what'd you do?
I started comedy.
Oh, you were like, fuck
yeah,
it.
I did comedy. And then once I started comedy, KU, like, I was thinking about going back to KU, but once I started comedy, it was like instant. I was like, fuck KU. I'll go to JUCO. I'll
fucking. Goddamn right, you go to JUCO.
And I went to JUCO until I used to drive the headliners to radio. For the club.
Yeah.
And I drove Bobby Slayton to radio. And the radio station was right across from our community college. And I go, oh, that's where I go to college. And he looks at me and goes, you're fucking funny. Why are you going to college? And I was like, and my mind just shut down. I was like, well, I'm going to call my mom. And yeah, I quit.
Like, this some bitch really did have be affected by this golf ball. You can't do that, Chris.
Honey, I'd love to hear about your comedy career, but I'm on the 12th hole. And I'm two over. I cannot talk.
But mom. Oh, shit.
I mean, was your
I just
mom.
Knocked my.
You're all right. It'll just be the head.
Yeah, yeah.
Your mic's all right.
Sorry.
Was your mom just fucking freaking out? I got to go back to that, because did you ever try to locate that old man?
I mean, like, we put up signs, but, like, what old man's going to be like?
What signs did you put up?
Yeah, just like, me.
Just like, hey, you know, if you hit a kid in the head on this golf course on this date, July 15th, which I remember, if you could please contact us for insurance purposes, that'd be great. And, of course,
nobody.
But my mom's like, try. Maybe you'll find the best person on the in the world.
His friend like, Jim, did you?
Yeah.
Hit him real quick, taking everybody out.
So, yeah, he was gone. But I remember while we were still trying to figure out whether or not my parents were like, you might get a decent settlement out of this. So I was like 17. I was like, all right, I'm going to go look for cars. And so I went out car shopping. And, of course, you're a 17-year-old kid walking through a car dealership. These dudes are like, can I fucking help you?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I'm looking at this Mustang. And he's like, yeah, are you? And he's like, where are you going to get the money to pay for it? I go, well, I got hit in the head with a golf ball, and I think I'm going to get a settlement. And the guy goes, yeah, sure you did. And I pulled off my hat, and I had 82 stitches from temple to temple. And the guy was like, oh.
Let me show you the face.
He was like, oh, okay. You want a test drive? But, yeah, I wish cameras had phones on them. Or phones had cameras on them at the time, because I was like, the look on that dude's face was fucking priceless.
But you never got a settlement?
Never got a settlement.
God damn.
It just got me out of the Navy.
Yeah. Well fuck it.
It got you out of war, like you said.
So. I think of it as a blessing. I'd rather have my comedy career than $25,000 in 1997 money. So.
That's true.
But yeah.
How long were you out of commission?
I mean, a week or two was
in the hospital.
That's amazing. No, I was 4 days.
Cut your head open, and in a week or two, you're back in action.
4 days in the hospital.
You're depressed as a motherfucker, but you're back.
4 days in the hospital, and then, you know, 2 weeks later, I think school started, and I was there day one. But I got, and, you know, I grew up in Kansas where you couldn't wear hats in school. Like, they were always very respectful, and I was the only kid allowed to wear a hat.
I don't think you wear hats in school anywhere.
Oh. I don't think we could either until college. College was gum and hats.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you bring lunch into college. Yeah.
Like, you show up in pajamas.
You really could do whatever
with the chick you fucked last night. Yeah. Like, I'm taking her back after.
Man, that's crazy.
So, yeah, that's kind of how comedy started.
So, were you involved in the football that season at all? Did you?
I tried to come on as, like, a manager and, like, help people, but it's like.
Let's go now!
Guy from
I was like, I wouldn't respect
guy
me.
With the skull click, it's gonna be fucking running shit.
So
I ended up holding the down marker.
Yeah, like I had to wear a helmet just to be to be
around. That's what I'm saying. He's probably the only coach wearing a helmet.
So and it was just like I went for a couple of, and it's like. Because when you are one of those guys, like, you're not really, you can't really hang with the players, but you also, the coaches don't want you around because they're talking shit on all the other players. Right, so it's like, you're just in this weird purgatory. I'm like, this isn't fucking fun.
Yeah.
And so I just bounced. And I was like, good luck this
year.
For
the rest of the
year. Yeah, and I went and played in the band.
Did you?
Yeah.
And you hadn't done that before?
No, I played in the band throughout junior high, and then I quit in high school. And the band teacher was always on me. He was like, I don't give a fuck what you play, whatever you do. I just want you in our band. And we were a good band. Like, that was kind of what our school was known for. So it was a kind of, so I was like, hey, I can't play football. Can I play drums in your band? And he's like, come on. And so
he's like, man, I can click all day, right?
Yeah, yeah. I got a click track in my face.
Got a metronome going right up here, baby. I can drum like a motherfucker. I keep time right here on my head. How big was the band?
Oh, 100. No. Yeah, probably 80-some, 60-some. Yeah.
And how big was the percussion section?
Especially during marching.
Wait, what did you play? What did you play?
You drums. Were you on the tri-toms? You were on the snare?
I was on the snare.
All right.
And then I think I would – sometimes I would get bored and just play cymbals on some parades just because it was fun.
Yeah.
You do a lot of parades?
Yeah, we did a bunch of parades.
A lot of parades.
They were booked out, man. They were booked like a year in advance.
And so –
Memorial Day, they did two or three parades.
Nah, man, we got two Easter parades this year, man. I got to get some turkey, man.
Dude, it was bad. Like, we had a schedule. It was like, oh, I can't do anything from September to October.
Right, yeah, I'm in the band.
Because I have to march in Lawrence.
Were you recruited anywhere for band?
No. Were you? No,
we were not. We had the worst marching band in the history of marching bands.
Plus, most of the time, it's not like they come recruit
you. How many were in your band?
60.
And what was yours again? 11?
21. We had two people in the percussion section. How many were in your percussion section? There must have been
at least
four
eight.
Snares.
At least eight.
Yeah. Yeah, two bass drummers probably.
No, we had four tune drums, a quads, and two and three snares.
They probably had a fucking xylophone player. I saw a xylophone player in
he's got the wind chimes and
in
shit
San Francisco, and it was like the Puerto Rican Day Parade. We were up there for Outside Lands. Me and Kate were walking around, and it was just a percussion section, and they were, you know, percussion sections that are like 16 or just dope.
Yeah.
And they had one dude xylophone doing like they were doing like some hip hop shit and just fucking and we just sat there. I was video. I'm like, this is the dopest fucking
dude. The real drum and bugle chorus, the ones that really like you can look them up on the internet and YouTube and shit, are fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The ones that are just like that's all they do. You're just like, I don't. It's cool. It's not something you'd want to pay admission to go see or anything. But it's pretty rad.
Well, geez, Chris, maybe some people would.
All right, well.
And you play guitar now, right?
Yeah, music's always been pretty. I always have to have some sort of music around.
Well, there's a story I have to share this with you because it's been a running joke. I can't believe every time I see you, I forget to tell you about this. But it's been a running joke between Josh Adam Myers and me. It involves Angelo.
Okay.
But there was a night where I guess you guys were all after a show. I guess you were gigging maybe at the Comedy Store. I want to say it probably was.
It's probably the Unknown Theater or maybe the Comedy.
Well, we did the Unknown then too, yeah. But I feel like maybe it was. But you wanted to play Soulshine. And I'm like, oh, I know Soulshine. But no one apparently that night knew Soulshine. He started telling me how you started getting so annoyed. Like, you guys don't know Soulshine. And then he said Angelo got on the drums and handled it. And you yelled at everybody and said, we're wasting time. And you went right into the fucking thing, dude. We still do that back and forth. I go, you're wasting time. And then we play Soulshine, dude. It's always a good memory of you and Angelo. It's a song by the Allman Brothers.
Yeah, it's a good tune.
But you're into that rock. You're into that?
I was into that for a long time. Yeah. I was also
Soulshine.
Yeah, that's it.
Take it easy.
No, that's
yeah, I know
that's
that
slow
song.
Ride.
I know that song. Soulshine, man. It's a good song.
I was an angry man for quite some time. I thought everyone should know all the songs. I was in a band for a while.
In high school or
no, like out here. I had a cover
oh,
band.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we played up and down Main Street.
What was your name?
The Boom Noodle.
The Boom Noodle?
Yeah. And it was fun. It was
a good
time.
Where were you playing in Venice? I used to work on Main Street.
We played the Victorian a lot. We did the Basement and the Attic. We did Finn McCool's and we did.
So this is like within the last 8 years?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This would have been 11, 12.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there.
Oh, all right. Yeah. So you were doing comedy and the music?
Yeah. I remember one night headlining Irvine and then driving to Finn McCool's and finishing the night singing.
That's killer.
And then that night I yelled at the band too.
Yeah, but they were the band.
That was the
not
only
a bunch of comics.
That was the only other time that I've ever yelled at the band.
You're wasting time.
You guys don't know Collective Soul.
Soul shine.
Wait a minute. Why'd you yell?
Oh, because we had stopped. We had stopped rehearsing. We had just started doing the gigs, and I was just like, "This is why we need to rehearse every once in a while." Is because like,
right,
especially like we would have to play fucking 4 hours.
Yeah, man.
So like you have all
when
these.
You're
songs,
the entertainment at a bar or something.
Four
like
hours?
That.
Are you getting that kind of shit for the night,
dude? It's no, and it's more for fun. Right. Like you walk with like $60 a man at the end of the evening. But
yeah,
it's fun. You can get laid. You know, it's good times.
And but, what I mean, have you done the Comedy Jam? You've done it, right?
A couple times.
I mean, you're into the music world too, right? I mean, it always blew me away because Black Crowes are one of my favorite bands. I know you know them well. And I saw them, man, the first time I saw them, they opened for ZZ Top on the Afterburner Tour.
Oh, that was their first tour.
That's right, at the Capitol Center, back when it was the Capitol Center in D.C., and they spoke out. Miller Lite was a sponsor, and they spoke out against corporate sponsorship, and they got booted from the tour.
Yep.
And then I love Amorica. Like, that the Bikini album that got banned, then they went all black. Like, I'm just a huge Black Crowes. I've seen them. I've seen the Black Crowes. One of the best live shows I've ever seen. When they had the beards and everything, and they were off doing their whatever they were doing, and then they came back and cleaned up, and they were getting ready to go out on the road. They did a night at the Roxy, and this is a while ago now. Oh. And I mean, you could smell the weed a block away walking up, and to see, and I'd already seen them at Irvine. I'd seen them at the Capitol Center. I've seen them like four or five times. And that fucking show, they were so good.
The Roxy compared to any of those locations is like seeing them in a fucking belly room.
I mean, yeah, they blew that fucking place up. And they had these beautiful black girls singing in the background. Like, it was so good to be that close and feel it like that. I'd never seen
that. How'd you feel it, man? You felt just like
that? Felt it in my soul, man. Soul shine.
So wait, how did you get into
knowing those people? Yeah, so how did you meet them, and how did that all that happen?
So I was as big a fan as you were. I followed them around for...
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Like, I took all my last Comic Standing money and used it to fly around and see the Black Crowes. I probably saw them 25 times between 05 and 08.
Damn.
And, you know, probably more than that.
All over the place? All over the U.S. It was like, all over the world?
No, like, if I had a weekend off and I knew where they were, I'd fly out there and check it out. And then, so, and, you know, I didn't know them at the time. And then one afternoon, I remember I just fired my manager, and I was at home cleaning my apartment, and Nick Thune called. And he was like, hey, I'm doing the Tonight Show. And it was back when he would do it, like, he was a regular guest.
Yeah.
He'd do, like, a segment. He's like, I'm doing the Tonight Show tonight. And the Crowes are on. If you want to come out, I'm not bringing anybody. I was like, fuck yeah. So I went out, and Nick was super cool. He like walked me right up to Chris Robinson. He was like, hey, I'm Nick. I'm one of the comedians on tonight. And this is my buddy Chris. Huge fan. Blah, blah, blah. We talked. And luckily, I had like 2 hours of prep time to like freak the fuck out.
Yeah,
so
right.
like I was ready to meet him. And I was pretty cool. And my plan was to just speak, not speak unless spoken to. And we hung out, and he was kind of holding court in front of like 9 people, and we all had a good time. And then at the very end, I was like, well, hey, man, I'm going to your show in Kansas City in a few weeks. And he was like, well, tell the tour manager and come backstage and say hello. And I was like, okay.
Right, yeah,
totally.
So 2 weeks later, we're walking into Kansas City, and I tell my buddy that's with me, I'm like, hey, man, it's been 2 weeks. A lot of channels have to go through. Don't be surprised if we show up and our names are not on the list. And I walk up and I'm like, hey, my name's Chris Porter. I think my name's on the list for some passes. And she pulled out a full sheet of paper with one name on it, and it was mine.
Nice.
And she's like, yep, here you go. And then like we hung out backstage until they went on stage. And then that was like.
Did you watch it from backstage?
No, because the venue we were at had a shitty backstage. Mm-hmm. So, or a shitty side stage, I should say. So we just walked out front, and then, that began my friendship with Chris, and we kept, you know, I kept showing up to shows, and we keep hanging out. And then eventually when the Crowes broke up one of the time or took a hiatus and he started the Brotherhood, he was like, come out on the bus with us and travel. And I was like, okay. So I went on tour with them for like a week and had a great time. And I did that a couple of times. And then when the Crowes got,
what's that like on the bus?
The first time I did it was great, 'cause I had my own bunk.
Are those is it a spacious bunk? Oh, those buses. I've been on a couple. They're sick.
Because some of, well, and it, you know, you can have like 12 bunks or 8 bunks, and this had 8 bunks, so they were full size. And like you have like a little DVD player in them with a curtain. And then there's lounges on both ends where like the front lounge is where you hang out, and then the back lounge is where you do drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just hang out. And
which lounge were you in the most?
But the back one.
Yeah.
And so it's great. You show, you know, you drive all night and you show up and you wake up in some city and you go have lunch with the crew and then you go load in. They do sound check and I'd go fuck off and do something and then do the show and then party and then get right back on the bus and do it all over again. And it was.
Damn.
So we did that. And then when the Crowes got back together, I was like, well, that's the end of that. And then I got a call from their tour manager that's like, yeah, CR wants to know where you've been.
That's CR, that's what they call him.
Yeah. And I go, what are you talking about? He's like, well, you talk about how big of a Black Crowes fan you are. He wants to know why you aren't on the bus. I'm like, well, I didn't know that was an option. And they're like, yeah, you'll have to sleep. You won't have your own bunk, but you could sleep in the back lounge. when everyone goes
the drug den. When they're like, yeah.
Is anyone going to bed?
The drug den.
Come on, guys, man.
So yeah,
3:30. I've had my night pants on since 9.
Dude, it's so funny. As soon as the show walks over, as soon as the show's over, we get on the bus and everyone changes into comfy pants.
Really?
Oh, fuck that. Yeah, dude.
The pants, man. You gotta get
black girls wear night pants, man.
Dude, I don't know. It was insane. Like, they'd walk off the bus or walk off stage. I'd say goodbye to somebody and then walk on the bus, and Rich would already be in fucking pajamas.
That's my man right there. That's what I'm talking about.
You're home.
Putting on Sports Center. You go rock out all your balls off and then put your night pants on.
Yeah. And then on his iPad, like it was no big deal.
I just fucking rocked that whole place, and now I'm watching Sports Center in my night pants.
And I did it a couple of times.
That's living,
and
then were you guys just driving through the night?
Yeah. And then the last 2 weeks they were based here in LA, and then they would just go out and do a run and come back. So I'd literally Uber to the Sunset Marquee, get on a bus, and then go to Arizona for the night, and then come back and get home at like 6 a.m. and go home and go to bed, and then wake up, and then we'd go to Bakersfield or something. You know, it was it was a 2 week make a wish. Is what it was.
Yeah, but one-nighters like that.
Yeah, and there were a couple, like, we did a couple of runs, like Vegas and Arizona, and then we came right back, and yeah.
And everything else they fly to? So they'll bus to what?
They bus to, they'll fly to wherever, get on a bus, and then
roll from
and then
there.
They're there, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Very few, like, you have to fill arenas to really
be
flying all the time.
But you're seeing 25 shows, and just like comedy, you know, if you watch 25 of anyone's sets, there are definitely one is, even if they're all great, one's the worst, one's the best. How are they when you see shows like that? Like, can you see the energy in a crowd? And
oh, the best we did a,
like, what did, are the best ones and what are the worst ones?
They did a
and
the
why
worst one were it was up in Northern California, just some like
bachelorette party.
No, it was like a casino, but like a shit casino. And in a town I never heard of, up in Northern California. And we show up, and everyone's kind of hem-hawing on the bus after they load in. And I'm like, what's the deal? And the keyboardist is like, have you been in there? I'm like, no. He's like, we're playing a food court.
No.
I'm like, what? He's like, it's shut down.
The Black Crows?
Yeah. He's like, we're playing a fucking...
This is how long ago?
This was the last week of their existence.
I mean, this is when they're clearly the Black Crows.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And have been for quite some time. And I walk in there, and sure enough, it's all curtained off, but there's chairs, but it's a food court. And backstage is a huge soda fountain where you can get all the Dr. Pepper you want. And
plug my
how many people
in,
get right? in there?
Somebody give me some orange chicken.
I want to get like 1,500, 2,000.
Chill out. Just chill the fuck out.
Brown rice.
So, yeah. Remedy. Is my order up? Remedy. That's my soda.
Give me that Sparrow slice.
Got a 25. Remedy, yeah.
So, and the crowds, it was a shit show. The crowd was lame. And I remember during the She Talks to Angel solo, Chris walked off stage, which he did all the time. And I walked backstage, and he's just sitting on one of the crates looking out at the crowd. He's like, fuck these people. And I go,
give me a Wetzel Spritz.
I go, hey, man. I go, you don't know. One of these people, they might have been your fan for 25
That's
years.
That's right.
And they finally got their truck running, and you finally played close enough for them to come see you. And I remember Chris just looked out at the audience and then looked at me, and he goes, Porter, I'm not that guy. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. But, yeah, and it was just a shit. You know, like, you've seen them, like, when they do a lot of the songs with, like, the big gospel ending,
right.
Chris is like, yeah. He wasn't doing it that like right. That was the only time I've ever seen him go thank you, and then that was
that's got to be deflating.
And then we got
an encore that night.
No, the funniest
out by the Cinnabon.
Yeah, I was talking to
how many spots can you come up with?
I was talking.
Did you get that tour bus ready? I'm grabbing Orange Julius. Get the fuck out of here, man.
Hey, man, we can't leave till I get my one potato, too.
Come on, get that going, man. Get that tater.
Where are my chives, bitch? I just remember Chris
give
walked
me two hot dogs on a stick. About to do She Talks to Angels.
I just remember Chris walking off stage and looking at me, and he just pointed at me. He goes, Porter, let's go. And they walked off the stage on the bus, and the bus pulled away.
Wow.
And that was the only time I'd ever seen Chris.
Where was that?
That was way the fuck up Northern Cal. I seriously don't remember where it is. No, it was a casino.
I mean, a casino.
Food court of a casino. Right.
Yeah. And you still think it was like 15,000 people?
1,500, 2,000. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Man, and what about the best?
The best ones I've seen are the fucking probably Fillmore shows in like 05.
I went to Fillmore in, gosh, I don't remember when. It was early in 2000s, but I went and saw Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers there because I really wanted to see a show at the Fillmore.
Yeah.
And he was coming, and I was like, I'll definitely go see that. I had a great time up there. I think you're, where you shot El Rey is looks like a mini
Fillmore,
yeah.
When I remember 05, I was trying to get into the Crows. They did like 7 nights, and they were all sold out. But on the internet, they're like, you know, at time of doors, they're releasing a few tickets each night. And so I went and stood in line for like 5 hours. I was second person in line to get tickets. And I made friends with everybody. And a guy comes up from the Fillmore, and he looks at the line. And he goes, "Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry to announce we have one ticket available." And I was like, I looked at the guy in front of me like, "You going to take that one?" And he goes, "Yeah, I am." I was like, son of a bitch. So I walked around for another hour and a half with my finger up. And finally, after an hour and a half, a man walks by. He goes, "You looking to sell tickets or you just want to go to the show?" And I was like, "I just want to get in that fucking building." He goes, "Follow me." And we walked in the show. And he was...
Who was he?
He was just some dude. And he fucking hands him an extra ticket. He goes, "You owe me $40. He goes, "I just want to make sure you weren't selling it." And I fucking... He bought me a beer.
You gave him 40?
I gave him 40. He bought me a beer.
We hit the food court and we took in a hell of a show, man.
And I said, "Thank you very much." I was moving to LA the next month.
Yeah.
And I left him. I walk and start talking to this other dude. And I'm telling him like, "Yeah, I just got in here. I'm so excited. I'm moving to LA next month, blah, blah, blah." Crows come out, start playing. This dude pulls a giant mushroom out of his tin and hands it to me and says, "Welcome to California." And it was the greatest show I've ever seen.
Oh, that's great.
Sick. Yeah. And they played for 3 hours that night.
Yeah, they're a great band. I wish they would go back out. You think it's going to happen?
No.
It's definitely not.
Not since Rich started that tribute band.
I didn't know he did that.
Yeah. They got this thing called the Magpie Salute. Magpie's an Australian name for a black crow.
Oh.
And it's basically...
So he does a tribute to his own old band?
Yeah, it's Rich and everyone that's ever been fired from the Black Crows.
Oh,
man. And then some lead singer that's okay, but you only want to hear one person.
How can you do that? I mean, what size venues are they doing?
They're doing the Fonda here.
Damn.
In September.
Man.
Yeah. And they have rights to do all those songs?
I mean, they do have to pay ASCAP on all. I mean, you can play whatever songs you want live. You just have to pay ASCAP.
Yeah.
They're like Creedence and who do you have? Oh, the Gallaghers.
Yeah.
Those dudes always fighting and breaking up, too.
Yeah, but I think...
I always thought about that. Like, how proud you would be as a mom or a dad. Like, what are your kids doing tonight? Oh, my boys are in Kansas City tonight playing the arena. You know what I mean? Like, both your kids are in the fucking Black Crowes. It's crazy to me.
Well, the Counting Jayhawks, you seen those? This cover band for the...
The Counting Jayhawks. Yeah, no, the Counting Crowes cover band.
Yeah, man, they're all right, man. So what about... There's another giant musician that you are very close with.
Do the Black Crowes lead to him?
No, those were completely separate adventures. I got a call. I put my special Ugly and Angry out on Netflix. And I got a call like a year later saying, hey, for my agent, because I had done a cruise before and sworn I'd never do them again. Like I did a regular Carnival cruise. Mm-hmm. And that's a fucking painful week.
So are you working? Are you allowed to do? Are you doing clean shows and late night? You get a dirty show, but regular show.
The shows were fine. The show. It's just everything around the shows was like just not. The cruise line I played for the Carnival. They put the comics up with the crew, so you're below the water line. You're in a room with no windows.
Oh,
you have no real responsibilities. Shit. But every time there's a drill or anything, the alarm goes off in your room and someone bangs on your door till you open it and you're like, this, I'm not one of you.
Right.
And
you below the line though, man.
Yeah. So anyway, I get a call from my agent. He's like, "I know you said no cruises, but they want you to do the Kid Rock cruise." And I just figured they called and like, "Hey, we need a rock and roll kind of comic for this cruise." And then, so I say, yeah, I'll do it. Cause even if it sucks, I can write an article or something.
Yeah.
Like, this is going to be crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And in between the time we booked it and the time it happened, I was talking to Steve Trevino, and he's like, yo, I hung out with Kid Rock last week and he did like four of your bits. He's like a huge fan of yours. And he was like, he told me he booked you on his cruise personally.
Really?
I'm like, get the fuck out of here.
Now, so for people that don't know, is this like a cruise where it's like everyone who's there is a Kid Rock fan?
Yeah.
And that's what the whole boat is dedicated
and
to?
And like everyone that's performing on the boat is either is a band that Kid Rock likes.
Gotcha.
Or produces.
Got it.
So it was a lot of Uncle Cracker. Kid Rock did like two shows. You know, the band.
And where did it ship out of and go to?
Shipped out of Miami. Went to the year I was on it. We went to Cozumel. We were in Cozumel for 8 hours and then turned around and went home.
That was the whole cruise?
That was the whole cruise. 4 days. While they went to Cozumel, all the artists and Bob went to the island where they shoot Corona. One of the islands where they shoot Corona commercials.
That white sand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hung out there called Passion Island or something like that. So we all went out there. But so, yeah, after one, I went to the cruise. I'm at a country show watching a band.
Wait, so did you kick it with Kid Rock?
Well, I'm getting to that.
Okay.
So I'm at this country show and this old, and Kid Rock show, Kid Rock walks up and hangs out like up in this balcony. And I'm like, well, this dude's such a big fan. I'll just go stand behind him. He'll come to me. And that's what I did. I went and stood behind him. And finally he turned around to say something to somebody and he saw me and he was like, hey, you. Come here. And I walked over. He's like, I fucking love you. You're a buddy comic. Blah, blah, blah. And like, ever since then, we've been cool. And
that's
like,
great.
And we partied the whole weekend. He invited, you know, a month later, I get a drunken phone call from him like, come to Alabama and let's hang out. And I was like, all right. So I flew down to his double wide in Alabama and rolled around and drank Coors Light and watched him turkey hunt on a Polaris. Yeah, it was
really?
Fucking great. Yeah. Dude, you give me camo pants and some weed and some beer and drive me around the woods.
Yeah.
I'm good.
I'm good.
I am good.
Any kind of little tiny, you know, like golf, any little small vehicle.
Yeah.
Like I remember my friends are like, you want to golf? Like, I don't golf. I'm like, well, just come. They're like, what am I going to do? I'm like, you're going to drive around through the woods in a little tiny car.
Yeah.
What's more fun than that? You can drink and smoke the whole time you're there.
It's fucking great.
We still with our tractor, we would do that shit. That's where my buddy would go.
Talk about a slow ride.
Little Woo! Fucking John Deere out in the woods all creeping, smoking cigarettes.
So then what? You guys became boys after that?
Became boys. He invited me. He does what he calls a fish fry every year. It's just a big concert. And it's like, but it's 7 minutes from his double wide in Nashville. He's got two double wides.
How nice are these double wides, though?
They're the nicest double wides you've ever been in.
They're not regular double
wides. But like I sat...
I've been in a couple.
They're camouflage wrapped, which is hilarious.
Both
of them are. They look everything's the exact same at both of them. And then you walk in and he goes, Porter, I furnished this entire double wide for $16,000 at Walmart. He goes, because at the time he had a house in Malibu. He goes, I got a couch in Malibu worth half that and it's not nearly as comfortable as this $600 couch I got from Walmart. He's just like, spending a bunch of money on something doesn't mean shit to him. He just wants something that's comfortable and works right. But yeah, so like we just became friends. I talked to him all the time.
Did he come see your shows?
From time to time. He was in LA and he was supposed to come, but then his girl got sick. But yeah, he's a big fan.
Did Black Crowes come see you? Chris come see you?
No. Chris likes to joke. He's like, I only go see Cat Williams. That's what he says. He tells me that. He's like, I only see Cat Williams. And
love me some Cat Williams.
But I think Chris did come see me here at some shit gig on the promenade. Like when we first met, he came out. And
he's like, that's enough for me.
I just remember the kid in front of me ate a giant dick. And afterwards, I went up to him and I was like, I go, that kid in front of me was payback for that time Everlast opened for you.
Oh,
I had to sit through.
Nice.
And
he's nice. Just like,
ha! That's hilarious.
So, but yeah, they come see me when they want to. You know, it's hard for Bob to get out because he's pretty recognizable. Although Bob's Kid Rock's real name.
Yeah.
Oh. We're in Vegas and we ended up eating at a Hooters because he has a card that says he can eat at Hooters for free for the rest of his life.
Of course, Kid
no,
Rock.
No, I have a buddy that's got a Chipotle card like that.
Are you serious? A black card?
Black card. And you just roll in, you give it to him. He said every time he's used it, they're like, what, I don't know what this is. Like, oh, you just, you have to, your manager come on, like, oh, hello. Because everything's free, whatever you buy.
Yeah. Yeah.
For
so,
a year. He had it for a year.
We walk into the, so we're at this Hooters in Vegas. And like, I got there first and I tell the girl, I'm like, we need 11, but can we kind of get it in a corner? And she's like, you're fucked. Like, I don't have anything in a corner. I have this table. It's out in the middle of everything. And I'm like, okay, fine.
What about a stage? You got a stage?
Yeah. So we show up. Bob's low key. He's got his hat on. Everything's fine. But then a song comes on he likes and he starts belting it out fucking full volume. And we're all like, shut the fuck up, dude. Yeah. We don't want to turn this into a meet and greet. Sure enough, people, and when people approach Kid Rock, man, it's like, it's insane. Like, yeah, they're shaking.
Fans, right.
They're super nervous.
Shaking.
When they did a Q&A on the boat, they had to hand people questions they had written because they're so nervous. They're like,
two people fell off.
So, yeah, one guy just ran. So these people come up and he's the nicest guy when it comes to that. He's like, yeah, let's take pictures. Let's do the whole thing. But then he got so animated that I was just like, next time I'm bringing pyro so that you can just do your full fucking show.
Do your own fucking here. Set, dude.
Because this is insane.
That's hilarious.
And Hooters is pretty much, that's his demo, right?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't nearly as bad as, like, when he first started doing it. Like, I thought the table start to shake, but it wasn't that bad. We ended up going to Topgolf the next day, and we just showed up, so they couldn't do anything as far as put us away from people. And, like, all of a sudden there'd be, like, a line waiting to just get into our booth to meet Bob, and then they'd come in and kind of break it up. But, yeah, because he'll hold court with everyone.
Yeah.
For as long he says he hates it, but everyone that's in his circle is like, no, you fucking love it.
Yeah.
And you bring it on every time.
So, yeah. I mean, there's got to be that fine line. You're like, nah, I just want to enjoy it. And then you're all like, yeah, but watch this shit.
Yeah, but I'm also fucking Kid Rock.
Right. Yeah. I'm a fucking rock star.
Why not get Hooters and your dick stroked?
Yeah.
You know,
all at Hooters.
Yeah, at Hooters, man.
I mean, you were talking about working with some crazy headliners, too, and there was one you helped get something. I want to hear this story
He wanted me to. All right.
Back when you were?
Can you say it?
I don't remember his name.
Oh, okay.
I honestly don't remember his name. I just.
But was it Cat Williams?
I can tell you this. He was a white dude from South Florida who was bald.
Fred Ernst.
And he owned a strip club. And this was like the first time he'd been out doing comedy in like 5 years.
Oh, okay.
And so he was super happy to be out, and he was just that stereotypical 80s headliner. Like, I killed in front of him the first night at Snickers, and I walked off stage, and the guy looked at me, he goes, great set. In 4 minutes, they're not even going to remember your fucking name.
That's the headline.
That's what he said to me.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, yeah. And I go, and I knew
and
that.
You don't remember his, yeah. The irony.
Yeah. And I knew that line. I'd heard that line in stories a million times. So I was just like, all right, whatever. I mean, you might as well just say what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Right, like, it's that cliche.
And you were like, well, I have business cards that I hand out after the show, so they will remember.
Yeah. So he goes up there, does mediocrely well. They still remembered my name at the end of his set. And one night after the show, he's like, let's go to a strip club. I'm like, fine. I'm 22. I'm still not never been into strip clubs, but you're in Fort Wayne, Indiana. You're out of shit to do at midnight.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, yeah, let's go to a strip club. He's like, but I want to go to the dirtiest fucking one in town. I'm like, all right, fair enough. So he asks around, finds out where it is. I drive him there, and he's like, and I have weed, and we're smoking weed, and he was like, I want some crack. And I'm like,
that's quite a jump.
It's a big jump.
I'm like, yo, man.
That's quite a jump.
Not even Coke.
We're in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I was like, you're not getting crack in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And he's like, we need to find some crack. And I'm like, you're not. I was like, I'll take you wherever you want to go because I'm dead certain you're not going to find crack in this town. And so he ends up befriending some stripper waitress. And she's like, yeah, I think I know where you can find some. It's the street down. You'll just drive down it and see if anyone's working. And I look at him. I go, I drive a Chevy Astro van with Kansas plates.
Wait, what color? Was it red? The blue? Oh, okay.
I go, do you think that any crack dealer is going to come up to my car? And he's like, no. He's like, yeah, I think they will. And I was like, okay, fair enough. So we drove down that street three times. And I'm just like, it's not going to. And it was the most ghetto street I've ever been on before or since. And I was, and there's no one out. And it was
like, and they're closed. Okay?
It was just 3 hours of us driving around
for crack.
And me just laughing. Just going, we're never going to find this. Why don't you search for leprechauns while we're at it?
How can that? So that you don't remember who he was, but he wasn't like a touring comedian.
He was just some guy, and he was just like, I'm out. I'm not with my
friend. How'd he get that gig?
It's not hard to get a gig at Snickers.
Yeah.
Believe it or not.
Snickers still there?
I think it finally closed.
Oh, did it?
I think it finally closed. But they were forever known as being the worst paying club ever.
Really?
Yeah, like $300 to feature for a weekend or something like that.
Damn. Well, I wonder what that dude was getting. He didn't give a shit. He just was going to go tell his friends back at the strip club he owned.
Yeah,
he
was
working comedy.
I think he just wanted to get away from his wife. I think he was just tired of it. And then when he got out, he was like, well, let's do all of the things.
Right. It's my chance to do crack.
It's my chance.
I can't tell you how often I think about that.
What, your chance to do
crack? Here's my chance to do crack.
Yeah, yeah, man. All the time.
I've had several chances at crack.
Have you ever done it?
No.
No.
No, that's...
We ask everybody that comes on if they have ghost stories, because we're a fan of ghost stories. You said you do have one.
Yeah. My parents live in the house that my grandpa built. And my aunt, or my grandma and grandpa lived there, obviously, for years. And my parents bought it. And for years, they were saying, you know, grandma walks around at night and shuts off lights.
And what kind of house? Describe the type of
house.
It's
one of those split levels. Mm-hmm. Where like all the bedrooms are on one side, and then on one side's like the living room and the, all the other rooms.
Garage below the
garage
bedrooms.
Below the bedrooms. Yeah,
yeah.
Just your traditional split level.
Well, when your grandfather built it, you're like, oh, it must be this like Victorian old house. He's like, now he's a contractor.
That's what I'm thinking.
Had a great business.
He built the other ones in the cul-de-sac.
So so my parents are like, yeah, grandma turns the light off downstairs. Because it flicks on and off. And I'm like, I can feel the switch. There's a short in the switch. Like, you can say whatever it is.
And they're like, over there clicking your fucking head. Yeah.
So I'm tuned into it.
So one night, I can't sleep. I'm staying there. I was visiting. And like, I know something's up. I know something's up. There's a storm coming in. And storms are brewing. And I'm laying in bed. I'm like, something's up. And all of a sudden, I can't remember what the first thing was, but the phone rings at like 1 a.m. And
how old are you?
This was last year.
Oh, whoa. He was visiting.
I'm just visiting. The phone rings at like 1 a.m, the house phone.
They still have a house phone.
Yeah. And my dad answers it, and I'm like, the fuck is that? And he goes, I don't know. It's just some woman speaking Spanish. I don't know what it is. And I go, okay. And he hangs up the phone. I'm like, something's up. Something's not right.
Just a feeling you
just
have?
And not a feeling I ever have.
Right.
Like, but that night, I'm dead certain something's up.
And now you're awake.
Outside, it's like,
the alarm goes off. My parents' house alarm goes off. I wake up. I step up. And my mom, whenever the alarm goes off, all she does is dart straight for the keypad. Which is the last thing you should do if someone's actually breaking in your house.
Right, yeah, let it go.
So I hear the alarm go off, and I yell at my mom. I go, stay back!
Stay back!
Stay back! And like I come out of my bedroom like fucking Call of Duty, bro. Like, bent knees. Like, I don't have a gun, but I'm acting like I do.
Right, yeah.
My dad comes out of his room, and I look at him, and the first words out of my mouth is, where the fuck is your gun? And he's like, because he has one by his bed.
Right.
I'm like, why don't you have your gun right now? And he's like, I don't want to shoot anybody. I'm like, what the fuck ever? So like,
imagine that's how he approaches the burglar. Listen, man,
I don't want to shoot you guys.
So I run. So I fucking Call of Duty down to the keypad. I look at the display and it said Zone 10. And I just start yelling, Zone 10! Zone 10! And we look at the thing and it says Zone 10's the back door. So I fucking dive and roll to the back door. The wind had just blown the door open. That's all that had happened. But it caught, and so I sit there and I'm freaking the fuck out. And then the phone rings again. And it's the hospital calling to say that my grandpa was dying.
Whoa.
Dude, I got a little chills.
I just got chills down my arms on
And so I'm still convinced that that was my grandma going, nah, man, wake up. This shit's real.
Right.
Like, you need to stay up.
You think she made the wind?
I think she blew the door open. I think she did all that. I mean,
damn.
And so when they called, they were like, we figured out that it was this girl from my grandpa's home, this lady that just had such a thick Spanish accent, and my dad was so tired that he couldn't understand what the fuck she was saying. And what she was actually telling him was, you know, we're taking your mom's dad to the hospital because he's on his way out. And right. So, yeah, it was just this weird.
Grandma's like, God damn. Fuck.
Yeah.
He built that house.
Fucking wake the fuck up. Yeah. And get
the alarms went off in every house. He built every house in that neighborhood.
So, yeah, that was when I was like, all right, I guess grandma is hanging out in the house.
Yeah.
But that was the only, first and only real time that I was just like.
You felt it.
Like, I've always had like a relationship with that, not the supernatural. Like, I'm always like, if something good happens to me, like, it shouldn't have, like, no matter how small it is. Like, I walked into Panda Express yesterday and they brought my teriyaki chicken right off the fucking grill. Like, I got there right when I got fresh teriyaki chicken. I looked up at the sky. I was
you
like,
don't
thanks.
Get that at the Black Rose Food Court. Yeah. Nope. Sure don't.
But I look
too busy,
the,
man.
I just looked up at the sky. I was like, thanks, man. Thanks, whoever got me fresh teriyaki chicken.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. So, like, if and I've always done that. So I've always had like a relationship. Like, I don't think they're helping me out. Or maybe I do, but like whenever something good happens, I'm always like,
just throw them a nod to the other side.
I'm thanks, the man. Same way.
Thanks for taking care of me. Yeah,
I used to have this walkway at my house when I was living in Venice on San Juan. And I was walking out with my laundry and wind just went and it ripped the gate open, and, like, opened the door for
grandma's
me.
Grandma's everywhere.
And she, Nana, man.
You're welcome.
Dad built that fence. And I walked through and I looked up. I'm like, oh, thanks, man.
Yeah.
You know? It's a good feeling.
And also, it's like, I feel like if you do that, like, if those people are helping you out, they're going to do it some more because they realize that you realize it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, man, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you for coming on and doing this.
CP3!
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, will you one more time plug your social media?
I am Chris Porter. The website's chrisporterisfunny.com, but it hasn't been updated since like 08. But,
coming up on a decade.
But I'm getting on that. I'm getting on it.
Get on that shit. You got some time. And go check out Chris Live. His stand-up is fantastic. Super great to see you. Thanks for coming on, man. As always, jlarsoncomedy.com, jlarsoncomedy on all social media.
RyanSickler.com, RyanSickler on all social media. We'll talk to you all next Tuesday.